Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Craving some intellectual stimulation? What if there was a place you could always go when you needed to expand your mind? A place where head trips were treated like destination resorts. Welcome to Open Loops, a theme park for your intellect and imagination. I'm your host, Chief Looper and Curator of Experience, Greg Bornstein. You are in for a treat. I love this episode because it was the only way I could get this guy on the air was to take a phone call. So this is the closest I got to experiencing the classic radio show, late night paranormal radio, and we have a caller. This caller just happens to have quite an interesting story, and well, check it out. If you like Open Loops, please do subscribe in iTunes or Apple Podcast. Rate and leave a review. It always helps. You're going to love this episode. I present Robert Emerson and a story unlike any other I've ever heard. Awesome. Hello, Robert well, can I say your full name? Are you okay with that, Robert?
Oh, yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
What do I care, right?
Who knows? I mean, yeah, different people have different levels of comfort.
Well, you know what it is? I don't care what other people think.
Yeah. Well, look, you know me, I mean? And Robert Emerson on Open Loops, we're going to really go into, this is sort of like a quick last minute thing that happened, but I really want to hear your story. Thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit of it today.
Yeah, sure. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. So, Robert, the thing that caught my attention was you were talking about, you know, how you have a spiritual activation in that you work with people to help get them in contact with their spirit guides. And then I reached out to you and said, you know what, you seem like a good interview guest. And then you said, I've been abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
So,
that's not my usual response to people.
Okay,
that's just part of what's happened to me. But I was trying to give you a rundown of what I do. You know, I've been regressing people into previous lives. I hook them up with their spiritual guides. I teach them how to interpret their dreams.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all, I've seen some of my own previous lives, okay? I mean, everything I'm talking to you about are things I experienced.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I don't tell you anything. It's not some video I saw or some book I read.
Yeah. You know? Well, I know it's very popular right now. I mean, I think in general, I don't know if you've seen this, Robert, but new agey kind of stuff, I guess they would call this the new age and sort of like occult stuff is very popular right now, even among like, you know, the millennials and the influencers crowd. But I really love talking to people that have been doing this for as long as you have, because, you know, like I go to used bookstores and I go to the like occult section and I feel like that's where the magic of all this stuff is. So I feel like you've definitely, you know, I mean, you've been doing this for, you said regression for like 40 years?
40 years, yeah. I started doing this back in the 70s.
Wow.
So what happened? Well, I'll just tell you real quickly.
Please, tell me the whole thing.
Okay, now, first, I'm a combat Purple Heart Vietnam veteran. All right, so I've done the war thing.
Wow.
All right, and I also started three companies on my own, so I've done the business thing, all right? So what happened was a friend of mine had a business and he got divorced and he had an alcoholic thing and he had to lose his business. And so he took off for a while. And when he came back, I invited him out for dinner and, you know, buy him some drinks, of course, right? And he told me that he had met a guy. The guy's name was Ross Peterson. He was an Edgar Cayce type channel. Now, and Ross and I became very close friends. But he met this guy, Ross Peterson. He told me all about previous lives. And, of course, at the stuff, I was, you know, I had credit cards and cars and convertibles and Mercedes, and I was fine, you know.
Yeah.
But the next day I called him up and said, look, you know, I really apologize for not listening to what you had to say, because we're close friends. You know, being open-minded is so important, you know.
Yeah.
And so I went to see him the next day, and the son of a gun regressed me into a previous life.
Wow.
Well, I got to tell you, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
What happened? Like, what was so mind-blowing
about it? The fact we even have them.
Yes.
Number one, right? And what does that mean? If we have previous lives, what does that mean?
Yeah. And are you, you know because I'm kind of curious, do you know, like, how much of it was, because you know what happened. I mean, obviously you lived through it. I didn't even live through it. The 80s with false memory syndrome, and people started getting on these paths. Like,
I don't care about crap about, I don't care what people think, to be honest with you. Everything I tell you is what I personally experienced.
Do you think this man led you direct, like, was he leading the experience, or did you just bring up stuff organically?
Let me tell you something. In the 70s, I became a hypnotist. Mm. Another thing I do. I've been doing it for 40 years. I've regressed thousands of people into previous lives. I could take you into one. Wow. Everybody has them.
Yeah.
Everybody has them. Now, I've seen some of my own. Thousands of people into it. And trust me, the one thing you don't do is lead people.
Mm.
For instance, when I'm taking someone's experience, I will ask them to go to the entrance of their home.
Right.
Now, what if I said go to the door of your home and they live in a teepee? Or they live in a cave? Or they're living on a beach? So I know all about leading questions, okay? Trust me, this is real.
Yeah.
This is not a joke. Okay. I had one experience one night. I was sleeping and a voice came in my head. And these are my spiritual guides. And they told me we're taking you into a previous life. Now it didn't wake me up, but I was conscious of what was going on. Next thing I know, there's black as charcoal sitting on this throne with gold all over himself. And the guy looked dynamite. You know, he's all buffed out.
Himself.
And I'm on this, it's like a stone throne, right? And there's a woman sitting next to him on a throne that's smaller, and she's black as charcoal, and she's got beautiful gold all over her. And I lean over, and I'm saying to her what a pain in the ass the white people are.
Oh.
That's what I remember from that experience. Now, what happened was that I was Nubian.
Yeah.
And Nubia is in Upper Egypt, and they were a black race, and they became pharaohs, and they became involved. And I wasn't a pharaoh, but I was a consultant. It was Amenhotep III, King Tut's father. Now, interestingly, the girl I was living with at that time, she could channel, and she could go back into previous lives and see them as clear as day. I mean, she'd see the dust on the counter.
Wow.
And she was speaking Egyptian to me when she was there, and she told me, yeah, the Egyptian language was beautiful, really beautiful language. And she was telling me that, she said, you're here and you're black. And so I get into a discussion with it, and she was there also. And then people that came to me over there automatically went back to that time.
Wow.
With that pharaoh. Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean,
so you're telling me this is multiple people in... So you're taking multiple people into a regress state, and they're all just somehow...
And they all, for the next 2 weeks, they all automatically went back to that period of time of Egypt.
Wow.
You don't hear about that a lot. Honestly, doesn't matter.
Or at least
it's
this is good.
But really, it's no big deal, okay? You want the big deal? This is the big deal.
Yeah, please.
You are a spiritual being. You entered into a plane on this earth and are occupying the body that you are now in. Your physical body dies easily, and it will. But your spirit is eternal. Your physical body is of earth. Your spirit is not. Even the God sent his only son to earth, right? So what does that mean? What does that mean?
That's God a good, is of the, I don't know.
God is of the universe, not just our planet. Extraterrestrials know all about God. They know love is the greatest aspiration in the universe.
Wow.
We're all part of a big picture. We're all part of a big picture.
Yeah.
We're not here on Earth and they're out there. God is somewhere out there in the universe. We're all in it together.
I love that. I love that.
Well, that's a big deal, isn't it?
I think it's a huge deal. I wonder how that goes over for you in conversation.
Oh, for me? I'm talking to people who can believe me, it goes over real well.
Yeah.
See, the people I attract online, they read my posts. You've seen some of my posts, right?
I have. I think you're
definitely... pretty cool, aren't they? Aren't they cool?
Yeah, no, they definitely speak to something that's a little...
well,
yeah,
I got to tell
cool
you, that
guy,
comes from...
Man.
Well, you know what happens? Like a lot of times I go into what I call the zone. It's a zone, and the information just flows through me. And
right.
And sometimes afterwards I look at what I did and I go, oh, my God, that's really good. I can't believe I just did that. But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know,
no, wait a minute. Do you think like this, when did this, did you have a moment that was kind of an awakening into these ideas? Like, were you a good Catholic school boy and then you became this?
No.
Or, like,
I
how did this
you
happen?
Me? Like, when I was a, my mother took me to church. You kidding me? A little kid, and make you kneel down, stand up. They're talking in some language I didn't understand, you know, some foreign language, right?
Yeah.
And who the hell knows what's going on? Meanwhile, I see these little kids up there with these, I'm growing. I don't like the looks of this. These little boys in these white dresses, and he's drinking wine. I don't like the looks of this. I'm like 9 years old, you know, right? This doesn't look good to me. Something's wrong with this picture. He's dressed in black. They're in little white things. And I don't get it, you know.
Right.
But organized religions. I'll tell you about organized religions. They're people that wear their belief system on their sleeve. That they put on the robe. Now look at, did Buddha do that? Hell no. Did Krishna do that? Hell no. Did Jesus Christ do that? Hell no. Well, what are they doing it for?
Right.
I mean, if these are the heroes, this is what they're aspiring. Well, why aren't they up there in simple clothing? Even Gandhi wore homespun.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys today, they got, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, were you talking, when you were like at Vietnam, were you having conversations about this kind of stuff with people?
No, hell no, because I didn't start getting into this till I got back from Vietnam. It was probably in my 20s somewhere. But I can tell you this, I mean, I got wounded in Vietnam.
Yeah.
But I had a really bad feeling while I was there that something dark was coming. And I lost part of my leg. But that wasn't it. That was not the dark feeling I had. And about a few weeks later, I was in Japan, and my company must have really ran into some stuff because a lot of guys got shot up. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Stepping on the landmine probably saved my life.
Oh, interesting. Well, look, I was going to, you know, thank you for your service anyways.
Oh, that's okay. I was drafted.
Yeah.
I didn't volunteer.
Right.
My father was in World War II. All my uncles were, so I went.
So to get back to kind of your spiritual journey, like you talked to this guy, you started getting into regret, you got past life, you experienced a past life regression.
Yeah. And then, I was a slave dealer out of New Orleans.
Okay, yes, that makes sense.
I was on this big sailboat, and I was on the front of it, and we were sailing into New Guinea. Now, when I came out of that regression, I didn't even know where New Guinea was.
Wow.
I thought near Australia or something. Felt that way, you know. We were sailing into, and let me tell you about previous lives, because you've never experienced one yet. See, I should do this all with you so you'll understand what I'm talking about. You experienced a previous life.
I'm pretty scared. I'm pretty scared of that kind of level of progression.
Drop your fear. Don't live by fear. Don't live by fear.
Okay.
So, you want to get involved? Get involved. Don't talk about it. Live it. So we're sailing into New Guinea. And we get there, and this course is just so you don't have time to make it up. You know, when they make up they're making a movie, and they have a stage, and it's set in the 1800s. They spend months putting that stage together. So everything is of the period. Now, yeah. One thing on that stage is not of that period. When you go into previous life, you're just there. You don't have time to think about it. Everything around you is just there.
Wow.
Holes. There's no paved roads. You don't have time to think about all that. It's just you are there.
There is a difference between like a hypnotic hallucination and actually like experiencing something and even firsthand viewing it from that
world. Well, that's what you have to do. You have to experience it. Now, look, I'm a hypnotist. I did it for 4 years, all right? I know all about hypnosis. This has nothing to do with hypnosis.
Oh, can somebody access a past life without hypnosis or like astral projection?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you see, it's not really hypnosis. I don't really use hypnosis to do it.
Right.
What happens is I take you into a dream, a daydream level.
Mm.
And then I just ask you what happens next.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, let's go to when you were 5 years old in that lifetime. What are you doing? I take people right through the whole lifetime. 10 years old, 15 years old, sitting having breakfast. What do you do for work? Let's go to your wedding. Boom, there's a wedding. What does your wife look like? How are you dressed? How is everybody else dressed? How is that marriage? Let's go to something that happened to you in that lifetime that has directly affected you in your present one.
Mm.
And that's when the shit starts to happen.
Can you tell the difference between someone actually experiencing it and somebody just making it up?
Oh, yeah, right away.
How often would you say that happens?
Oh, a lot of people. You know what a lot of people do, which is so stupid?
Yeah, what do they do?
Psychic. They go to a psychic, and the psychic, this all-knowing psychic, right, tells them what their previous life was. Now, you know, we have enough Cleopatras in the world as it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they were Cleopatra.
Yes, everybody thinks they're Caesar.
Yeah,
everyone thinks
the
they're Napoleon.
Todd, the Cleopatra, or Alexander the Great. And Alexander was a cool guy. I mean, he was cool.
Do you know him personally in your past life?
No, he was a cool guy. That guy was so cool what he did. I mean, I could do a show on him, but
I was going to say, who would
people?
Go ahead.
A lot of people. They don't have a clue. They just don't have a clue. I go on some of these sites and I'm posting them. Where the hell did they get that? Some book they read or a video that they saw or they were in
yeah,
a file.
What are people getting wrong about past life?
Everything.
Past
life? Everything.
What's a great example right now for all my listeners? I want to know how you tell legit versus fakes.
Well, first, I start asking them if they experienced it. Now, if they tell me they were told about it, then I know it's all crap. It's just like when you're abducted by aliens, all right? Because that happened to me and my whole family had happened to. I know what an abduction is. I know what happens. So if they start telling me that they had this giant thing chasing them in the field, that's bull. That's crap. That's not real. There's no fear. There's no fear.
Yeah.
Imagine that. There's no fear.
I really have to learn about this abduction story for you and your family. Was it all of you guys at the same time or different times?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what happened. It was really interesting. We lived in a little town called Middleton, Massachusetts, about 28 miles north of Boston. There were more cows there than people.
Okay.
So there's no strategic value in this place. Cow pastures, cows, and us.
Yeah.
Place to grow up. You get swimming holes, just the greatest place to grow up.
Totally.
And so what happened there, interestingly, it wasn't until I got older that I realized what went down. See, back in the 60s, nobody talked about it.
Hmm.
I'll give you an example. My father and my little sister saw a UFO across the treetop level, right there. Neither one of them ever told anybody. Nobody.
What?
Now, and I'm telling you, and I took my father to see The Close Encounters of a Third Kind by Spielberg, and he didn't even mention it then. Now, and I asked my sister, I said, did you and Dad? She says, yeah. She told me and my friends used to go alien
The alien, sorry, alien hunting.
Alien hunting. Yeah, well, we saw a UFO, and they used to go alien hunting, her and her little friends.
Wow. Why was it? That seems crazy that it was, it almost seems like it was more, like, why was it happening so frequently in Middleton, Massachusetts?
Oh, well, it was happening a lot on my street.
Why your area? Like, what's going on?
Let's put it this way. When immigrants come to this country from another country, and let's say that they go to Chicago, and then their relatives come to Chicago, and then their relatives' friends come to Chicago. And in the end, there's a whole community of Germans living somewhere in Chicago. And you ask yourself, how did they all get here? Right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that difficult, is it? And then on the other hand, Stan, the aliens, these extraterrestrials, are spiritual beings in their physical bodies just like us.
Wow.
So these abductions are not by accident. They don't come from somewhere out in the great beyond to pick somebody up going down a dirt road. From the vents. And I can tell you something else. I've worked with people who've had abductions in this lifetime, and I've taken them back into previous lives where they had them too.
Interesting. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. There's no accidents. There's no coincidences.
But this is like, you know, I mean, this seems like such a concentrated, like, they are, what was it about your, you said it was
Well, that was just my sister, my father. My mother was coming home with, no, she was in the hospital. I just found this out about 7 years ago. She never said a word about it. She was in the hospital having a back operation.
Yeah.
And so she finally opened up. And, she was coming home with groceries on our street. And because my mother's, you know, young girl, Salem, Mass, you know. And
right.
She sees this thing, this big thing out in this field that wasn't there on her way to the groceries.
Right.
And she thought it was something they put there so the cows could get water or something. Because she doesn't know. My mother, you know, what does she know? So, of course, I don't want her to hear that. But she's 90 now, so she still loves me. So she drove by it and she stopped and she backed up. Beings around it on the outside outside of it.
What?
Now let me tell you something. That close, you're abducted. She doesn't know it. I'd have to put her under. See, what happens is when you have these experiences, you don't remember them. So I have to take you to get past that little block. Or you might have a few conscious memories, but not a lot. So that
is
was
that
my
something
mother.
Is that something the aliens are doing? I've never understood why it has to
go
subconscious.
Well,
or is it the human brain can't process it?
You know what it is? I think a lot of it is you're not ready yet. To fully comprehend it all. That's definitely part of it. That is absolutely part of it. Now, my brother, I talked to my brother, and he remembers having conversations with beings from beyond, but he thought he was smoking marijuana. He thought he was coming home with his friends. He said, I talked to him about this a few years ago. And he said, I think it was the marijuana I was smoking. And I said to him, well, you've smoked marijuana in other places. Did it happen there? He said, no.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. I mean, you know the Dover Demon, Dover, Massachusetts, where I'm from, you know that whole thing?
Yeah. I heard something about Dover. Yeah.
People, I mean, everybody's like, of course, it's been spotted multiple times, but the big criticism is, well, it was the 70s, and those guys driving were on, drugs.
No. You know, it's really interesting. To see, unless you've been abducted, you don't get it.
Yeah, I really don't.
No,
I don't even get it from the outside. I read books about it.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't get it.
No, forget books. You have to experience them. You have to experience them, man. They have to.
Why do they come to you? I just don't understand why they came to your neighborhood and why.
Okay. Well, there was so much activity in my neighborhood. It was unbelievable. Now, what I did was there's a site on Facebook called Remember in. This is people that grew up in Middleton. You can't get on it unless you came from Midland. So I put a post in there. I said, does anybody remember having any UFO experiences in the 60s and 70s? I got a huge response.
Really?
People all over the town. Yeah, I got all kinds of response. Now, I also got responses where people were laughing at me.
Yeah,
and laughing at people that were, you know, rednecks that were saying, oh, you know, you drank too much moonshine or whatever, right?
Yes.
But, you know, because you're always going to run into that. There's no getting around it. You're always going to run into that. People fear what they don't understand.
But there were enough people like you, your mother, your dad, and sister, who experienced these things.
I was going to go up there. I live in Florida now. I was going to go up there, rent out the library, and get them all together and have a big show. Have everybody come to the library and talk about their experiences. There was that many people.
Does anybody have any technology that they recovered or any, like, anything that's evidence, like physical evidence that you know of?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's things about crashed UFOs. That's possible. I mean, the government knows they're there. I mean, you know, I was talking to a woman down here in Florida, in Wilmington, and her and her friend were abducted one afternoon. And then they were abducted again about 3 hours later, and it scared the hell out of them, her memory of it.
Mm.
They went to the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department separated rooms. Two guys from the Air Force showed up. So, you know, this stuff is pretty well known. It's known. I have talked to physicists at Oxford, at MIT, without naming names. They know about the propulsion systems and how they work. This stuff is known. It's not a big secret. Yeah, they've harnessed gravity. That's why they can sit there and just hover. They don't burn fuel. They don't use fossil fuels. They've harnessed gravity.
Robert, I need to know about your first-hand encounter. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just need to know. Let's hear, I want to know what you saw.
Let me tell you about the abduction that I had. Okay?
Yeah.
And this is common. Yeah, there was a Betty and Bonnie Hill one. I don't know if you remember that
classic
one. It's in New Hampshire. They had the same experience I did.
Huh.
But I have a friend that knew them, and he's a detective in Mass, and he knew them. He's like in his late 70s. And in my experience was the same thing they had. This was in Vermont. This was not in Middleton.
Mm.
Now, I had ones earlier, but this is in Vermont. I'm with a friend of mine that I've known since I was 5 years old, and we used to joke and laugh. That's all we did was joke and laugh all the time. We'd play off each other. We were going west. We go up the hill. Now, there's just trees around. We get to the top of the hill, and there's a light. This is during the day. There's a light that is so bright, I can't see the road anymore. In fact, all I can see is the inside of the car. But it didn't hurt my eyes, and I wasn't afraid. So I had to stop.
Mm.
So then I look over at my friend Bobby, and he's talking to somebody. Now, I'm the driver. If that was the police, they'd be talking to me. He's a passenger. He's talking to someone, but I can't see who they are because I can't see outside the car.
Wow.
And I said to him, I says, what are you guys talking about? But there's no fear. Next thing we know, we're driving down the other side of the hill, and it's an hour and a half later. And we both look at each other and say, what in the hell was that? So we drive back to the top of the hill. There's nothing there. But what I was going to do a few months back, I'm a hypnotist, and I have a friend of mine she's a real hypnotist in hospitals to hypnotize women that are giving birth so they don't need medication. They just give the birth.
Yeah.
And so she knows what she's doing, and she's open to this. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to have her hypnotize me, take me back to that experience, film and record it, and give a very detailed moment-by-moment discussion about what happened for that whole hour and a half. That would have already been done if it wasn't for this damn pandemic. Now, this happened in 1967. It was this year, early this year, that I decided I wanted to find out what happened to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make that as a teaching tool for people.
Yeah, I would
definitely love to check that out. Everything that... Because I don't care, see? If it happened to me, it happened to me. And
so you stepped outside, your friend is there. Take me back for a second. Was the abduction part of this story, or is that like a separate
thing? Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No. This is one of the abductions. We're in the car. We go to the top of the hill. I have to stop because I can't see anything but the inside of the car. So we're stopped. I look over at my friend Bobby, and he's talking to someone. And I'm asking him, what are you guys talking about? That's the last thing I remember. We start, next thing that happens, we're driving down the other side of the hill, which is 10 minutes, 5 minutes away. But it's an hour and a half later. So there's an hour and a half. We go back to the top of the hill. There's nothing. Now, missing time, I've worked with a lot of people that have been infected, okay?
Right.
And because what happens is when you start doing it, you get a reputation for it, and people trust you when they come to you. Because everybody's afraid of getting laughed at and whatever. And there are some professional people that don't want to tie it to themselves, you know. Especially people that are in position like these guys at MIT and Oxford, they get grants. So they can't go public.
Interesting.
They could lose their grants. These guys live off that stuff. So, and I've done a lot of work with people. It's always missing time. The minute I hear this miss, you know what happened. Okay,
wow.
So I'm going to video and record the whole hour and a half, and then it'll all be out, and people can watch the video. And most important is for me. I want to know what the hell happened to me in that whole period of time.
Interesting.
What went down? Now, I know this is of a spiritual nature, that they're here to help. I know that. All this crop circle stuff, that's ridiculous. They don't play in cornfields and play with crops. Everybody goes, I've been to Egypt. I've been in the pyramids. They didn't build those pyramids. People built those pyramids. The Egyptians kept records of everything. They've got it carved all over the temple walls. I've been to Aswan where they carved the marks are still there. Built by man. They're not going to come here from who knows where to make anything of stone. It just isn't going to happen. Did you?
Yeah.
And right. I've done a lot of work with a lot of people, believe me, and it's on a spiritual level. I'll tell you one that was cute. These two women, they're in their 40s, and they go to this jewelry show every year. And they go the same way, and they always stop in at this place in Danvers, Mass. They get coffee and a muffin afterwards around 10 o'clock at night. Well, they're coming home on Route 128, one of the major roads down here, and her girlfriend turns around on the car, and there's an alien sitting in the back seat of the car.
That you don't hear about a lot.
Well, it doesn't matter. This is what happened, you know. And she screams, right?
Yeah.
She screams. So they get to the place to have their muffin. It's closed.
Interesting.
Same way, same traffic, missing time. So they came to me. And it takes people a while. They're afraid. So they came to me, and I took one at a time, took them back to the incident. It happened. They both saw it. She saw it. And so it was a valid experience. But I never went quite further with it as to what happened. I mean, you know, they were on board the vessel, and I don't know what happened to them there. But I had a friend of mine who lived in Middleton, and his daughter was in the 10th grade. And she was next door in Tarsal, Mass. It's 15 minutes away. She was driving home from a girlfriend's. And in later afternoon, she got home, it was dark, and my friend, her father, was angry at her because she just got her license, and he didn't want her driving at night. So she's confused. She calls up her girlfriend. The mother says, oh, she went to bed an hour ago.
Right.
So now she's confused. So she came to me eventually. We go back to the thing. She's on her way home. This is the vessel at treetop level. She stops. They come out. They're talking to her. And they told her it wasn't time. Now, I don't know what that's about, but that's what they told her. It wasn't time. But I'll tell you the effect it had on her. Up until then, she was extroverted in high school.
Yeah.
After that, she was introverted because she couldn't believe her own eyes. She
what?
Couldn't believe it.
And
she
did everybody notice this? Everybody noticed this?
Well, she told me. I mean, I went through this with her. You know, this was a side effect of the experience. She couldn't believe her own eyes. Now, her father, he's a scientist for Sylvania, right?
Mm.
And I used to play cribbage with him. So I'm talking to him about previous lives. He thinks it's all baloney. Well,
right.
He gave it a try. Took him back. He goes into a previous life. Sees everything as clear as day. And it blew his mind, of course, because now his whole scientific belief system got turned upside down. And this was a lifetime real quick. He's in some western town, guns drawn. Some guy comes flying out of this alleyway on a horse, and there's gunfire, and he shoots the guy off the horse.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's a dirt road, wooden buildings, no telephone wires. See, this instantaneously, as if you walked onto a movie lot of gun smoke. You don't have time to put that all together. You just don't have time to do it. Now, I took him into a number of lifetimes, but he had one interesting. This beam of light, this is a scientist, buddy, comes through his window, turns into some kind of a life form, and is talking to him, and tells him not to tell me what they're talking about. Then turns back into this round orb, goes through the window, and he lived on 5 acres of land. And he told me what amazed him was he could see that light going through the woods. So I asked him, what did he say to me? I said, you can tell me, he's gone. He would not tell me. The guy went to his death not telling me. Now, see, I'm used to this stuff, so it's okay. But you got to understand, this guy was a scientist. He didn't believe in any of this stuff. But see, it starts happening to people around me when I start working with them, see? I start opening up other dimensions, you know?
Yeah, no, wait a minute. So this is very – so back to you for a second in terms of your experience, because the commonality with these things is that people don't seem to consciously recall the actual experience. I mean, do you remember being on the ship at all? Like what?
No,
tangible – nothing.
Absolutely not, but that's going to come out.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go back and I'm going to go over that whole hour and a half of lost time. And that's going to come out. It's going to be very descriptive.
Do you know in your gut that you were actually brought onto this ship, or do you have any other kind of proof?
Because they wouldn't have left us in the car for an hour and a half.
Do you stay in your physical body, and do they just take like a spiritual
version of you? I think your spirit can go. I think you can go physically both ways. Because see, at night, when people are dreaming and they're having a dream that they're flying, they've actually left their body. They've astrally projected out of their body.
Do you think the dream world in general is insight into another dimension or a higher dimension?
Well, your spirit exists in one dimension. It is non-physical. And your physical body exists in another. Now, there are many dimensions in the universe. And it's so silly because scientists here are using radio waves. They're trying to see if there's life in the universe using those big, huge things.
Yes.
They don't use radio waves. They don't use radio waves.
That's a good point.
That's why I'm out there. The universe is teeming with communication. They don't use radio waves. Let me tell you something else which is interesting. Back in the 60s, when I first got back from Vietnam, I bought a big school bus, took all the seats out, put the Harley on the back, bummed around the country for a couple of years going. So I was doing some LSD at a rock festival, and I was with three other people. We were all communicating telepathically.
Because of LSD or just because of?
The acid opened up the door.
I mean, that's why they stopped the research, right? They were starting to, like, kind of really delve into that. And then someone from a higher up said, oh, can't look at that anymore.
Well, you notice with LSD, hallucinogenics, mushrooms, the Indians, they all used this to open doors.
Yeah.
They didn't use it so much to get high. This was a spiritual experience. Because I'll tell you one thing with the LSD, I mean, I haven't done it since then. All your walls come down. All your fears come down. Harry did a thing, was on TV, where he was using LSD at the end of his life.
Who was it again? Sorry, you broke up for a sec. Who was it?
Cary Grant.
Cary Grant, yes.
Yeah, you could Google that. It's probably on YouTube. Yeah, and what he discovered was he lived his whole life wrong.
Oh, how so?
Because it's all about learning to love.
Yeah, so he got in the same trap. You think was that
well,
what he was?
No. Well, we're all in it. You're in it.
Oh, definitely.
We're all in that stupid trap.
You're in the podcast right now. What do you think the reason I'm having you on for? But
and,
I'm trying to come from a place of, well, maybe something like that.
I know. No, look at your intentions are good, but you're as screwed up as the rest of them. You know? And
oh, wow.
Too, you know?
Yes.
We're all messed up. Yeah, we're all messed up because love is the answer. Love is what this whole thing is about. And to be loving, you have to be like a child. You have to be vulnerable. You have to be out there. They have arrows shot right into your heart. When that happened to you when you were younger, you said to yourself, this will never happen again, and you shut down.
Yes.
So we have
right.
to think as a child. We have to open our hearts. We have to be believing, trusting.
And the aliens see this, you think?
Well, it's not just us. They know our struggles. They know what we're dealing with. Love, you know, this is like the Harvard University in the universe. Emotions and ego only exist on the physical level. So when you come here, because you're not from this planet, you are not from this planet.
You mean everybody? Body. Everybody. Oh,
everybody.
Everybody's from a
Nobody
higher...
Nobody's from Earth. Yeah. And you come to this planet to learn to love. And it takes a thousand lifetimes, man. It takes a long time. Look at.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Okay, you're 31, so you're still a young guy. But you know you have things you have to work on, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay, well, guess what? When you're 71, you still have things you have to work on. You can't do it in one lifetime.
Do you think that's true of, like, the Dalai Lama, too?
Oh, absolutely. If he's in the physical, absolutely.
You
can't be in the physical. You cannot be in the physical and not have things to learn. That's the reason that we came here.
Do you think there's anybody that doesn't have stuff to work on? Like, was Edgar Casey, like, a nice...
No, he was just a channeler. See, my friend Ross Peterson, in fact, I got a guy here in Florida, he's going to be an Edgar Casey type channeler. I'm going to be working with him soon. He can leave his body at will, but he doesn't understand any of it. He can go to the beach for the day and spend the whole day there, and his body's at home. So, you know, see what...
Wow.
Absolutely.
Is that something, does he have to go into a trance to do that, or can he just, like, do it?
No. Well, what I'm going to do with him is I'm going to have him leave his body, and I'm going to direct his spiritual mind to channel the creative forces in the universe, and he'll be another Casey.
Wow.
Yeah, but see, when somebody channels, that has nothing to do with who they are.
Right.
I mean, they're just being used as a vessel. They have their issues. You know, Casey was always trying to make money with what he did, and he never did. Never was able to, because it's not about money. Gold has no luster in spirit. It's not about money.
How do
Learning
people...
to love.
Yeah. You are coming from a very... I mean, look, I have to tell you, Robert, this is very... you know, I mean, if I didn't think you had also, like, done something with these spiritual beliefs, i.e., like, worked as a professional hypnotist at some level and done businesses, I would have just been like, this guy did a lot of drugs in the 60s. And
oh, that's funny, yeah. That's really funny.
And
isn't
just
that
talking
funny?
About peace and love, man. But at the same time, I'm also like, is that what he is?
I'm like,
sounds like you've done a lot of... You've explored this for years and years and years.
I still do it with people now.
Do you do this professionally? Like, do people come to you and pay you to regress them into a past life?
I've never charged for anything. This is my way of paying it forward. I had businesses where I made many factories and stuff like that. This was just something I did. And I still do it now. I mean, you wouldn't believe the people I'm helping all over the world. I do it now just to help people. Why not?
If
you learn something, let's say there's a village, and you douse. You know those guys that douse with those little sticks and they bend and there's water there?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Okay. Dowsing. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. Let's say that you have an ability to douse. And it works. In a lot of cases, you go to this village, and there's all these poor people there that have to walk 5 miles to get a bucket of water. I'm not going to charge them to find a well. I'm going to go in there, I'm going to find it and say good luck to all of you.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've asked previous guests this before, and it's something I've never understood. Why aren't there more charitable psychics out there?
Charitable psychics? I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Exactly. It's a phrase no one's ever heard of because it's a psychic that's willing to use their gift.
What is a charitable psychic?
It's a psychic that's willing to use their gift to actually help humanity as opposed to...
That's what I do.
Well, that's what I'm saying you do it. I'm curious why in this movement that, or at least in this community, people end up, it's all like why, I guess, yeah, it's my question is why aren't there more psychic philanthropists? You've had a full career, you've done your job, you've helped people, and yeah, sure, you had a gift. And I get the argument from, because I know it from a hypnotist perspective, Robert, it's like, if they're not going to give you the energy of trust, which someone on my last show, I think, said that they equated money vibrationally as trust.
A lot of times, well, forget vibrational, that's crap.
You hate vibrations?
No, it's just crap, money vibration. Give me a break. It's paper.
What's your relationship with
it's
money?
It's not even, I got to tell you, gold has lost its luster for me. It has.
What about just money in general? Like if someone's going up and is like, coins. I need to make it in the world, and money, I think, is the way to do it. Like, what would you tell that person?
I would tell them, you better make sure you're doing it for the right reasons, or you're going to get the wrong result. So now we got to sit around and talk.
Yeah, right. That's what you said about Edgar Casey.
Now we got to sit around and talk. Well, he was trying to make money with it, but he was a good guy. A lot of people that do trance don't like to do it. It depletes you a little bit every time you do it. But he did a lot of readings, you know. And my friend Ross did a lot of them. And that was, I guess, my awakening was in the 70s when I met Ross, because he'd go into trance. He's channeling the creative forces in the universe. And, I mean, the first time I went to him, he did a seminar down in Cancun, Mexico in the 70s. Before there wasn't much there. We were in the jungle.
Yeah.
And near a pyramid. And he had a spring. We wrote down some dreams that we had. Well, I went over to him. There he is. He's gone. Ross isn't here anymore. His body's laying there, and they've taken over his vocal cords. And I go over there, and they tell me the whole dream that I wrote down without me saying a word. They tell me the parts of the dream I forgot, and I remembered when they said it. And they interpreted the dream.
Wait, who is they for a second? You said
the creative forces in the universe.
So you're telling me Robert passed. So wait a minute. You paint me this picture. You're in Mexico. Is he still alive at this point or not?
Oh, Ross passed away. He passed away.
So what's happening in Mexico? In Mexico?
Okay, he's not down there. When my friend came back, he had met Ross. Back and regress me into a previous life, because regressions are so easy to do, you wouldn't believe it. And so I wanted to know more about where he learned that. So I contacted Ross Peterson. It'd be like calling up Ed Casey. And he told me they're having a seminar in Cancun, so I went. And that's where I met him.
You're saying the actual physical body Ross you called and was doing a physical. Okay, that makes more sense.
He was doing a seminar, and part of the seminar was him laying on a couch, going
into trance.
He was coming out with stuff. I mean, you have no idea. You know, when you go to a psychic and they say, "Well, yeah, Ted, who's Ted or who's that?" You know, when this guy's in trance, he can tell you your whole family, what street you lived on, where you moved to again, the dream you had last night, the dream you had a month ago, what bike was your first bike. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. But more important is he can tell you things about yourself. You know?
Totally.
About yourself.
Well, you know what I would say, Robert, that I feel like most of these people that pass themselves off as psychics these days, at least the ones that are really... they don't have a gift, are probably doing more of the, because we both know it's so easy to use vague language in hypnosis in a way that makes people think you're talking about them. So I think it's more impressive that this guy brought up facts than just being in your childhood.
It's not just, he wrote a book about him. They wrote a book about him, but he was in Canada And he had a woman from the States, and he did a reading for her in trance, a medical reading. And it was, she had a lot of physical problems, and it was extremely accurate. It wasn't that you have a headache, it's why do you have a headache? What's causing the headache?
Yes, yes.
Okay, anybody can say you had a headache, but what's causing it? See, when I work with people, I take them, I go into their subconscious. The first thing I do is I stop dealing with their conscious mind, because we have a clue. You don't know who you are, you don't know why you do things. And all of us have said, why the hell did I make that choice? Or why the hell did I make that decision? Because we don't know who we are yet, and we don't know what we're doing. So what I do is I bypass the conscious mind. I get you out of the way. And then I deal directly with your subconscious. Now we're down to business. Now we're getting into it. Now I can find out not what you do, but why.
Yeah.
Why did you do it?
Do you think there's a difference? Just quick technical question. What is the unconscious and the subconscious the same? Does it matter?
Well, basically you have three levels. You've got the spirit mind. Okay, that's spirit. That's you who entered in, because you are a spiritual being. Then there's the subconscious mind. That's the soul mind, in a sense. The dreams are the language of the soul. Then there is your conscious level. Now, let me tell you how this breaks down. Nothing happens to you physically, it doesn't happen first on a spiritual level. Then it happens, and then it happens on the dream, in your subconscious on the dream level. Then it happens to you physically. So that's how I can dream, and I do this. I can dream of something that happens in the future.
Oh, how accurate!
See?
Like, is it like movement? Is it
exactly
what happens?
Well, I'll put it this way. Well, I'll put it this way. One of my, I've had many of them, but one of them was years ago, I saw a number plate. And 2 months later, I met a girl and that was her plate.
You saw a license plate. It was a license plate, you said.
All I saw was a license plate. 2 months later, I met this girl and that was a license plate on her car.
Wow.
So that's pretty accurate, wouldn't you say?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah.
You gotta have all the right numbers.
No, they get it exactly correct. I mean,
Of course. What good is it if it isn't?
Well, I was going to say,
I'm not into minutia. I don't do minutia.
Do you experience deja vu?
Yeah, of course.
And that's different than this.
No, deja vu, okay, deja vu, can be a feeling of having been somewhere before, and no doubt you were. And then I will take that person, take them back to a previous life, and they'll have been there, but we'll find out how they got there, what their name was, and you can trace it.
Yeah. What would you say to someone, Robert, that is like everything, all these experiences in the mind are, I guess, how would you fight back if you were to get into the ringer with like a hardcore materialist consciousness researcher?
I wouldn't do that. Well, basically you're saying to me, put the gloves on and go into a ring.
What the hell
am I going to do that for?
First of all, I believe you could do it, or at least I'm rooting for you.
No, I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because that guy is closed-minded, and there's no way in hell. But what I will do with him, I'll say, give me your mind.
Oh.
Give me your mind.
Is that the way to awaken everybody, you know?
I've done it. I've done it. I'll take that guy into a previous life. I'll introduce him to his spiritual guides. And I'll tell you sometimes it's a previous life where a hell of a lot of crap went down. And that big bad guy is laying on that couch bawling like a little girl.
Wow. How often have you seen that scenario in your career?
Want to hear a good example? This is a beauty. I understood what the hell I was up to. You know, I'm a hippie running around on the school bus for a few years, and I start businesses, and he works for the post office, and they're working. Well, he had a friend of his that was a deacon in some church. So I don't know for nothing. And he calls me up, and he says, I have a friend that would like to try what you're doing. I said, sure, I'll come over. So I go over there. And so he lays down on the couch, and I take him into a previous life. And the poor guy, in that lifetime, he had a very young daughter that had a really bad handicap. really bad. And he bawled. And he bawled. Now, when I have somebody in that lifetime, they have got to feel this pain. Okay? Now, in this lifetime, he had no children. Wonder why. He bawled. Mm. He bawled. He bawled. Guy, you know? But, you've got to, one of the biggest things in life is you must allow yourself to feel the pain.
Yeah.
You've got to open yourself up to feel that pain.
Totally agree. So, totally agree.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the only way that you're going to free yourself. So, of course, when I take them out of a lifetime, I make sure absolutely they remember everything, every feeling, every thought, everything they saw. So a few months later, my father calls me up and tells me he was there to debunk me. He was doing a favor for my father, some church, to debunk me, to fix me.
Yeah, right.
But see how it works?
Yes, yes. They're trying to do it. They think their own insecurity is what. Yeah,
I know. But listen, already on a spiritual level, this was set up.
By whom?
I didn't know. Well, everything happens first in spirit. And
yeah.
In mind. No, this was like nothing happens to you by accident. You know that, right?
Is there a higher? Is it one collective mind that is shaping this for everybody, or is it like a council of people in the sky?
Well, let's not get too cuckoo about it.
what? That's too cuckoo for this interview.
I want to keep it simple. A lot of people think there are councils everywhere, and you can't even buy a candy bar without them saying it's okay. But, there's God in the universe.
Okay.
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 God is pure love, unconditional love, love without condition, period.
Beautiful.
Okay. Now, we were given free will. Now, God's not male or female. In spirit, there's no gender. So, well, which means God stays out of it. He doesn't get involved. You have choice. You have free will to do what you choose. So as far as this council stuff and stuff, forget about that, all right? But this is what happens. Before you were in spirit, before you hovered over your parents, full well knowing the DNA you were going to inherit, full well knowing about the social aspects of moving into that home in that neighborhood at that time. Now, that gets involved with karma, and you could do a whole show on karma. So, God simply stays out of it. So we're down here, and we have to work it out. Responsibility for our actions.
Yeah.
We have to be grown-ups. We have to be grown-ups. Now, the whole purpose of coming here is to learn to love. To be loving in your thoughts, in your actions, to look for and you bring the best in yourself out. Try to be the best person you can every day. Those are major, major strengths. Major.
Yeah.
See, it's easy when someone hurts you to get angry. That's usually what happens. And you bury the pain inside you, and it festers in there. And one of the things when I work with people is we go in there and we dig that pain out. And they feel, and they're going to cry.
Yeah.
And they have to go through it. Because I can do this in one sitting. Psychiatrists try to do it in 10 years. I can do it in 1 hour.
Oh, I think that stuff is amazingly powerful.
And we dig that pain out. And now, see, they have adult eyes now. One woman was coming to me. She was going to come to me once a week for like 2 months. And see, of course, I'm talking to her subconscious mind. She's out of the picture. And her subconscious is telling me she's going to come every week for like 2 months. I said, okay. So then, one of the experiences that we went back to when she was there, she was like 5 years old. She's playing in a campground in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And her and her little girlfriend had an argument, and she turned to her girlfriend and said, I wish you were dead. The next day, the little girl had an accident.
Wait, you said the next day the little girl did what?
She got killed in a car accident.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So this little five-year-old thought she did it. She made it happen.
Awful.
No, she does not. That affected all her decision-making in her whole life. But
of
she
course.
Doesn't remember it. But see, when I took her back to that experience and she's viewing it from adult eyes, she realizes I didn't kill that girl.
So you worked with someone.
It heals. Oh yeah, I didn't.
And they didn't pay you. And they didn't pay you. You were doing
no, hell no, no. I didn't. I have business. I had money. I had Mercedes convertibles. I had.
You were living a lifestyle. You just were interested in helping people with these tools.
Oh yeah, sure. Why not? If you learn something that's going to help people, I mean, what you are doing, you're doing to help people, right?
Right. Wait, you're asking me about this podcast?
You better be.
I might be doing it to help me more than
Florida whooping. I'm going to give you a Florida whooping.
No, wait a minute. What's a Florida whooping going to feel like? I mean,
let's just say the Civil War is still alive.
Oh, my God.
We're going to get you carpetbaggers. No, how
about
Salem
Threatens on the air? No, look.
You're in trouble now. You're in trouble
now. I'm doing it for the same reason that, I suppose, I don't know if you ever listened to, like, Coast to Coast, like Art Bell and George Norrie, all those guys that do these late-night radio shows. I'm doing it out of exploration of the potential of humans and the universe. That's my primary drive. I guess what it really is lifelong curiosity. That's what this show is a tribute to.
Let me tell you why you're doing it.
Uh-oh.
You're doing it so you can learn how to be a better person.
Yeah.
Because when you find out about all these things, how is it going to affect your life?
Right. It's a good point.
I know. That's why you're doing it.
But my question is this, Robert. What if I'm, like, also trying to, I don't know, like, maybe make this my life? Like if there is, you know, a part of me that...
There's nothing wrong with it. Look, there's nothing you can make all you want. Just do it for the right reasons so you'll get the right result.
Because what's amazing is that I could imagine that you were working with people and you had these other businesses. I mean, if these other businesses weren't taking off, I don't feel like you would have come from a place of,
lack of integrity. No, hell no. I would always do it for nothing.
But I think you could have done it for money if you had nothing else going on.
I'm not in business now, and I do it for nothing with everybody.
I think that's amazing.
I don't charge. You know, there's more in life than money. I know that might be hard for a New Yorker to understand. But no, really, there's more in life than money. There really is, you know.
And, of course.
Even though the rent's a sky high, yeah. But be for long though. But people are moving out because of all that. See what's going on right now? There's a pendulum in life, and it swings from one extreme to another. Always trying to find the middle balance, but never getting there. Right now, the pendulum is swinging way over here, and it'll swing back the other way. That's what it is. Life has changed. That's all.
Do you think that's what's good? Like, I think that's what's happening with people moving to the suburbs, people being a little less like for a while it was all technology, corporate, we're all going to be in these tight bubbles, high-end like living and lifestyle and paying tons of money to have these experiences, and now people are leaving cities in droves and trying to spend more time with the people they love in smaller groups. It's like kind of, I think it's like giving humanity back to some people that weren't there before.
Well, you know, everybody's on their own path. And it doesn't really... I'll give you an example of karma, okay?
Yeah.
Just to give you a good idea of karma. Everything is based on what you think, not what you do. If you think of it, you might as well have done it. See, man's law applies only when you're... Right?
Right. Sorry, say that again.
You don't get caught, it doesn't apply.
Right. What law applies? Sorry, repeat that.
Yeah, man's law.
Man's law.
The
only
law of
applies
when you're caught.
Right.
You can go 100 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. If you're not caught, it doesn't apply. You have to get caught.
Yeah.
But God's law applies all the time.
That's interesting. So if you get caught...
And it applies from what you think.
Right. Going. Interesting.
Now, I'll give you an example. Let's say, back in time, you're in a dungeon in some castle somewhere. And it's a torture going on, political crap, who knows. But some poor guy's on this rack, which is a stretch machine. And you are told to turn this wheel that will stretch that guy out into excruciating pain. If you don't do it, you'll be on the rack. Now, you're turning that wheel. You're turning that wheel.
Yeah.
You're enjoying the screams of his pain.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt you will come back into a physical body, be born into a physical body that is racked in pain.
Oh, gosh. I don't want that, Robert.
Well, you better start thinking nice things. Now, let's say you're turning okay. that wheel.
Yeah.
And you feel compassion for that person. No doubt you will come back into a physical body that will be that physician that heals those racked in pain.
That's nice to hear.
What was the difference?
What was?
What you were thinking.
Mm.
Not what you were doing.
Yeah.
It's all based on thought. Let's say this is a good one. People are going to love this. Let's say in a previous life, you were that one that abused children. No doubt, you will come back to a lifetime into the body of a child that will be abused.
Oh, man. I don't know why people would love that, except for
talk to people that have been abused, and I'm telling them it's because of something they did in a previous life.
Oh, my gosh, that's controversial. Now, look, how is that going to go over?
Well, of course it's mind-blowing, but this is the reality of it. This is what's real.
How often do you think that happens?
It happens all the time. That's it. There's no excuse. There's no way out. There's no
accident. You're telling me everybody that's been abused as a child in a past life was likely to be an abuser.
A child abuser, absolutely. Hands down.
Or they were. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, in a previous life. Sure, absolutely, hands down. See, life is all about meeting yourself. This is karma now. Okay, this is what karma is. It doesn't think. It doesn't do anything. It just sends back to you exactly what you send to it. Look at it as a scale. On one side of the scale, you put your thoughts in one lifetime towards people. The other side of the scale are people's thoughts, the same ones, back towards you. The scale must balance. Mm. So, let's say you would, in one lifetime, in the next lifetime, you're going to be that old and be complaining about it. You force your will upon people, the will of people will be forced right back at you. To the same degree that you do it. This is pure justice. There are no coincidences. I'm telling you stuff that took me a lifetime to understand.
Do you think it's possible for somebody to get over, like, being abused, whether it's an adult, without knowing that they were an abuser in a past life? Like, does that have to be part of the growing process?
Well, if they don't, then they're setting up their next lifetime.
Oh, interesting.
And this is why people in your lifetimes. Of course people don't get over things. It's all about learning to love. You hold it. You know something? That which you hate the most is that which you're becoming.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine that. Well, look at all these preachers slamming their fists about this and pornography, and then they find out they're in New Orleans in some hotel room with them. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, I see anybody slamming their fists down, what they're slamming their fists down about, they're guilty of. Every time.
Yeah.
See, the battle of Armageddon is within your mind. It's that side of you that wants to be good and that side of you that doesn't. There's the battle.
Right, right.
Making the loving choice or not making the loving choice. It's all about you. It's all about us. You know what I mean? The choices that are made.
Choices.
And see, now listen. I teach people to go into a meditation and contact spiritual guides and they have a conversation with them like we are right now.
Wow.
Can you imagine if I showed you a way of talking with a spiritual guide who's in spirit like we are right now?
Are these spiritual guides an extension of you? Are they an outside voice of God?
Oh, absolutely outside. This is how it happens. Before you physically enter this planet, before you are physically here, before your spirit leaves the spiritual realm,
yeah,
and you come here to this planet, you make a deal with those that are going to remain in spirit while you are here on your earthly sojourn. The deal is this. They will be there to guide you, to help you, to make all the right decisions, the right choices. But you have to seek them out.
Mm.
Now, you enter the physical form. You're born as a baby.
Right.
Now, in your early years as a baby, the connection is still there. You know, the imaginary play friends, it's still there. But you grow out of it because your parents don't know about it, and they grow you out of it. They'll tell you, stop doing that with your imaginary friend. You're real.
Right.
But, so, you here you have these spiritual guides that are waiting to, they are waiting to communicate with you. So all I do is hook people up with them. I do it all the time. You wouldn't believe, all over the world I'm doing this. So they, it's a turning point in their life. Because see now, there's not a question you can't ask and get the real answer. And this is coming from within. See, the truth lies within you. That's not some slogan.
Yeah.
Seek. Seek and ye shall find. That's not outside of yourself. Knock and the door shall be open. That's an inner door. Even forehead, they call your temple. And you go in.
So tell me this. As we're kind of like wrapping things up here, bigger picture, how do aliens fit into this understanding of spiritual guides and love?
Because we've been them, they've been us, and love is the greatest aspiration in the universe.
So they're not really aliens, is what you believe.
No, we're all citizens of the universe.
Do they look like us? Do you remember? Does anyone
Hell no.
Remember?
No, they don't physically look like us, but not everybody looks the same here.
But they're the same spirit. Spiritual source as we are.
Well, they are too.
And you know, if you're going to look back and talk to your family members in the abductions, it was all the same kind of story. You can 100% say that you experience an abduction.
Oh, yeah, multiple times. But see, I have worked with people for 40 years that did, you know, so this is not news for me.
Well, Robert, where this is really interesting, and you know what? I'm definitely as soon as you do that session with it, when things slow down after everything going on, and we learn about your experience, you know, I'd love to have you back on to talk more about that.
Oh yeah, that's going to be wild because then I'm going to learn exactly what happened to me. More of what see one thing that I've learned when you go back to that situation in your mind, you can communicate with them.
Interesting.
In real time.
Wow.
So that's going to be a real mind blower for me because I really want to find out what the whole thing is really all about.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, you get yourself on a plane at some point, you come down here to Florida and I will regress.
You're
going to
whoop me?
I'm going to give you a Florida whooping. But you come down here, you know. A Florida whooping, that's right. But no, you come down here and I'll regress you into a previous life. And I'll
Amazing.
Hook you up with your spiritual guides. And it will be a turning point. It'll be a turning point in your life.
Robert Emerson, thank you so much for coming on Open Loops. I'll let everybody know more about you. This has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope you come back.
Oh, yeah, I'm around. You're a friend with me on Facebook, so you'll be seeing my posts and stuff.
Absolutely.
And maybe you'll have a better, more depth than what you're
understanding
what's behind it.
I love it. I love it. Thank you again.
Yeah.
Look,
okay,
it's been a pleasure. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.